All right, so welcome everybody. This is the first episode of The Maximist.
Yay!
So I think after this goes up, we'll have negative listeners.
Well, you know, the Titanic actually sunk on its maiden voyage.
Oh, perfect.
And how many people died?
47.
That's it?
So I'm your host, Phil Belise. We have Ben Smith. He's our artist and gamer extraordinaire.
I think that's co-host.
Co-host as well. Jeffrey Kalpakis.
Hello.
And Vincent Payone.
Executive producer.
He's our...
of the official College Humor podcast.
Of the official College Humor podcast. Vinny is works for College Humor. Why don't you tell us what you do? And
I'm the director slash director of photography for most of the original videos at College Humor. I've also been there for 7 years, so, you know, in the writer's room occasionally.
Actually, can you tell us what College Humor is?
I'd be happy to. College Humor started about 2000 when four guys got together in their college and started creating a website that people only within their school could upload videos to. That soon became popular amongst that school. They realized...
So it's kind of like a Facebook type, the origins of Facebook.
Very similar, around the same period too. And College Humor soon became an aggregated content site, which means that users could submit videos and people could go on and enjoy videos. Not unlike Ebombs World, which was very popular at the time.
Yeah, what happened to Ebombs World?
It's still kind of around.
Is it?
Strangely, yeah, there is stuff.
What college? What was the originating college?
I want to say...
The Humor University.
I don't know. I don't know my College Humor folklore like I should, because I didn't come in until the original content
unofficial podcast of College Humor.
I came in around 7 years ago when College Humor started creating videos, which is what I do. So I'm not just... I work for the site in the sense that I direct or shoot videos that actually get put up in the original section.
Sweet.
Okay, so there is like user uploaded content on College Humor?
There's still user uploaded content. You know, there are a lot of contests, there are a lot of articles. You know, not so much my department. My department is creating original videos that we write, produce.
And you guys are pretty like prolific, right? How many videos do you...
Prolific. I mean, we've made a lot of videos. In 7 years, I think I've probably made over, 2,000 videos. And some of them have reached, pretty high viewership. Like, for example, one video that did okay on our site also was put on YouTube and had like 20 million views. Recently, a video has had about 7 million views.
So who's making those monies?
Our parent company, IAC. The money doesn't really come from there. I mean, the view count helps to get advertisers who pay for ad space. So that's kind of how College Humor makes money.
And then how do you make money?
How do I make
money? They write you a check?
I am on salary.
That's amazing.
I'm on salary, and they give me negative 0.0%.
You have to pay them to work there.
So you have, you said user-generated content? Is there a review process, anyone can actually just upload...
Anyone can upload a video. That's not to say that it'll actually be on the site, right. Let alone featured. But you know, people upload videos all the time. They just kind of sit in limbo.
So it's someone's job to look at thousands of horrible
videos. Okay, so it's not like YouTube.
Exactly. No, it's not like YouTube. College Humor's more of a destination site for content that sort of has a specific brand, whereas YouTube is all about you.
See, I'm even learning something.
Look at that.
I didn't know this about College Humor.
I've made everything I just set up.
It's all a lie.
Well, this is actually a fake company that we're talking about.
This guy is a manager at Stewart's.
He lives downstairs.
Assistant manager. Thank you.
He brought the microphone.
Hey, so you are almost done with this? Or?
Yeah.
This is our first and last episode.
But I'm not the only one here who's involved in the comedy circuit. Jeff.
Oh, yeah, Jeff. Jeff Kalpakis.
By proxy. Yeah, my brother's in the comedy game, and he, the Birthday Boys at UCB LA.
They found you. They're coming.
Yeah, here they go.
That's actually the only reason.
He's talking about his brother.
It's the only reason you're here, so we can get an in on your brother.
And Josh Rubin, who you work with, is now at UCB New York, right?
Yes, he has a mod team called Onassis.
What does mod mean?
Mod, okay, so there are two types of teams, Herald teams and mod teams. funny enough.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I get it now.
Herald started out as like a Herald team, meaning like this is our Herald, and then to be cute, girl teams that came together formed mod teams to complement the Herald teams.
So why is Josh on a girl team?
So M-A-U-D-E.
I actually don't know if it... M-A-U-D-E.
Okay.
I'm not actually sure that it still means that. I'm not actually sure that it's still specific to females, but there are females on his team. So I actually think that nowadays it's just like it's a Herald team or a mod team, but I could be wrong because I'm not too involved in UCB outside of going to shows.
I did see a picture of him and it was like at least 15 or 20 people. Like,
yeah, they're a very big team, but it means that they're officially sponsored by UCB, which is cool. That's right. A big deal. So, you know, they have like a quota for shows that they, you know, perform every month and they're always writing and, you know, he seems to be really happy with it. It's cool.
Cool.
And is he still just as involved in College Humor, or is that...
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Well, Josh and I juggle a lot because he has, we have a company together, which we produce content for, you know, AT&T, whoever needs content that thinks we're funny. So we do a lot of stuff with that. We both work at College Humor. Josh has his mod team, and I have Four Story Treehouse, which is basically a commercial entity, a collective where we make things out of miniatures. So we make PSAs. You know, we did that video, The Story of Sushi.
Yeah, that was really big.
We did something for BBC America for the show Copper, which was a lot of fun because it was 1860s New York City, which is awesome.
You know, I'm learning this now because I've watched, you know, I do watch Copper, but no idea. Not a
really?
Clue.
Really? Not a clue. I'll have to send you a link, bro.
Yeah. Well, for all the listeners out there, me and Vinny are really old friends.
All the listeners.
All the one person that's... all the me that
me
is
that's listening
it.
Later. Yeah. And I'm like, how does Phil and Vinny know
sure,
each other?
I'm pretty sure Mark will listen. Hi, Mark.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, but the funny thing about like podcasting to me is that like when you're doing radio, you're obviously talking to people that are listening live. But it's like we have to act...
Sure.
Like, we have listeners, but we're really just talking to each other, but we have to pretend that other people are listening. Well, we have Josiah,
I have a guaranteed two people that will listen to it, and one of them is me. So, me and Vinny grew up, we've been friends for like, I don't know, 12, 13 years.
14.
15.
18.
22.
I don't know who to believe.
So we've been friends for a long time. So, and I hate him, so...
So actually,
since
I'm the gaming expert, I have a pretty interesting story. Mm. So we play a lot of online video gaming, me and Phil, mostly Call of Duty. Some of you may have heard of it. And you end up like just playing with random people on this for anyone who's played online gaming. And we've become kind of online gaming friends with these two 12-year-old kids.
Guys or girls?
Totally pedophile style.
Girls?
No, guys.
Not pedophiles? What are you...
This is a humor show, Phil.
Oh, okay.
These are jokes. These are jokes. Not good jokes, but they're jokes.
Well, we can always edit out the really bad ones.
Yeah.
This is getting edited.
For anything that can get me arrested,
yeah,
we'll get rid of
this. This is it. This is what we'll do.
So, you know, when Gangnam Style got all huge, they were always, like, playing it and singing it. And then one day...
Where are they from?
Jersey,
okay.
Then one day, one of them started saying Mitt Romney style.
Wow.
And I was like, hey, like, me and people were like, hey, you know, our friend, like, directed that video. And they were like, what?
That's funny.
And they didn't know about College Humor, though. Like, they didn't know. They just knew the song. So I told them, like, hey, it's College Humor. And now they're, like, just love College Humor.
See, College Humor has an interesting prestige about it because I feel like... You can be telling somebody in a bar you work at College Humor, and it could go one of two ways. One of, oh, cool, okay, yeah, whatever, bye. And another is like, no fucking way. Like, it's so specific. It just hits like a comedy niche that if you're in it, you're, you know, heavenly. And if you're not, no one in any way gives a fuck. Which the people who are paying you tend to not give a fuck. but it's really, I was talking to somebody at a bar. This guy was, you know, he was assistant director on The Wrestler. And I was like picking his brain, like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, you guys shot in 16mm. You know, I was so interested. And he was kind of, you know, pretty nonchalant about the whole thing and didn't, you know, give a fuck at all. And then when somebody else joined the conversation and we were talking about IMDb credits, she said, oh, I have 10 IMDb credits. And I was like, oh, I think I have like 50 or 60. And she's like, what? And then the guy who was talking to me was like, why do you have that many? I'm like, oh, I work at College Humor. And he's like, shut up, shut up. And he's the guy that I was so impressed with, you know, which was amazing. Like... And the girl who was like bragging about 10 credits and I said I had 50 or whatever, she was like, get out. Like, she like didn't care and didn't know what College Humor was. And like... It's now just so weird.
The student is the teacher.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean...
Come talk to me.
It can happen. I mean, it's, you know, the web is a strange animal. As we all know. I mean, you just, you know, you're meeting people.
But it's just, you know, now it's like I have fake fame with these two 12-year-old kids. But they don't even know who you are. They just know you're a director. Yeah.
Just tell them to follow me, at Vincent Payone. No, just kidding.
What's your 20 million hit?
Yeah. 20 YouTube? Million... Well, there have been a few, but we did a parody of I Got a Feeling called I Got a Feeling parody.
Yeah.
And that did a lot, that's got a lot of views. Mitt Romney style, which went up right before the election, has now like 8 million, which is pretty significant considering how short, you know, a time it's been on the web at all. But I don't imagine too many people are going to be watching it anymore.
No, no.
He may make a comeback.
It's down to 4 million
views. Yes, it's lowered in views now.
People care more about watching him pump gas than watching him dance.
So, everyone saw Skyfall except for Jeff. He's our...
resident non-expert.
He's our control.
Baseline. Experiment. Let me know as well.
Oh yeah, so we're going to be talking about Skyfall, people, and we're going to be having spoilers. So stop listening if you don't want to know.
No, about listen. The movie. I don't care if they. You're going to get it. Listen.
Jeff can't listen.
Actually,
so who's the new Bond?
Never listen again. I don't know. That is one of my questions. Was who do you think the next Bond should be?
Completely unpredictable.
Completely unpredictable, but what, like, who would you want to see? And mine is, I've been thinking about this because it was my question, but it was Michael Fassbender for ooh, Bond. Wow, the next
interesting Bond.
I'm going to really... Jason Statham.
Interesting choice. Yeah. Michael Fassbender.
Like a creepier Bond.
He does
a lot of sci-fi and a lot of creepy roles.
Like,
but
you just keep expecting him to rip off his face in all his movies to expose alien that he is.
He's pretty versatile. And,
but have you guys seen Shame?
I have, yeah.
So, see, part of Bond's allure is that you're not sure how big his dick is.
Well, it's too late.
You get Michael Fassbender in there, and you know.
Let me get my pen. I'm going to cross him off the list.
That is true, you know.
Michael Fassbender would be interesting, yeah. I mean, Daniel Craig, who saw that coming?
Number one, they have to be English or be able to do an English, like a really good English accent.
Well, Sean Connery was Scottish.
Any one of us.
Some sort of, they have to
have... Yeah, I actually want Jeff.
Some sort of accent.
Hello!
Hello, it's me, Bond.
You know who'd be an interesting choice? Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman, he was actually on the list when they did, when Daniel Craig got it. He was on the list. Ewan McGregor. I'm trying to think who else.
Ewan McGregor?
Yeah. Horrible Bond, right?
What?
Right. What?
And he would make a good, like, Q.
That's like when, what's his name was on the list for Indiana Jones? Fucking, what's his name? Mustachio. What's his name? This is why we should have this at all
who's
times.
Mustachio?
Tom Selleck was gonna be Jones.
Oh, really? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is old footage of him and what's her name?
John Hamm's gonna be the
like that's a girl version of Mustachio, so I could throw that in there.
Yeah.
Marion.
Dolores Henderson.
Yeah, but there was
I don't know her name actually. There is
footage, like pre film footage of them auditioning or whatever.
Right. It's like Nicolas Cage auditioning for Superman.
So anyway,
what was the Superman movie that he was supposed to do?
Superman Forever or something. It was Tim Burton like directed.
Superman for like Batman Forever.
It wasn't that though. Well, I have no.
It was Superman
right
and Robin. Either, I'm so. Pretty sure it was Superman and Robin.
So that's my pick. Anybody else have an actual like a real?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, Bond. 007. Whoa. It's gonna be John Hamm.
It's gonna be John.
John Hamm is an interesting choice.
James Bond.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. I think in order to answer that question,
I think it's gonna be Michael Caine's comeback.
Well, it has to be taken away from Daniel Craig before it can be anyone else.
He's slated to do two more.
Well, yeah,
two more
movies. That was the other question. Is yeah, he's on for five. Will they get rid of him or not? I don't think.
I think so. Well, because has anybody done more than five? I don't think. I think five is the max.
I don't know. That I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, there've been 30, haven't there?
22, I think. 21 or 22. I'm not sure, but it's not 30. I
know. Interesting. It's
like of which I've seen three, so let me explain this to you.
George Lazenby did one-third of a Bond movie.
He did, yeah, one, and then they canned him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's interesting. I feel like to know who's going to be the next James Bond, you really have to have your finger on the pulse of up-and-coming
British
actors.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because there's two. If he's slated for two more, it's like
that's who I was
six
thinking.
To 7 years from now.
Right, exactly.
I mean, if you want to go like way crazy, which could be cool, I think he might have been a choice, but it was Idris Elba was thought of for I don't know if it was rumored or if it was Luther.
You don't know who Idris Elba is?
No.
You saw Prometheus, right?
Yes.
He's the pilot.
Oh, okay.
Six foot five black guy.
Yeah.
He was gonna be Bond.
I heard a rumor that he might be up for it or
something. Fuck it, we had a black like president.
But I mean
black actors.
Yeah.
What? So,
but I mean, again, you have to be British or
I like that. Spoiler alert: they're reintroducing Ralph Fiennes back in, or not reintroducing him, but Ralph Fiennes in the series feels a lot more classic of Bond than Dame Judi Dench ever was.
Yeah. Well, that's also a huge thing I was thinking of, because I saw you have Judi Dench and you have this weird kind of bond between the two.
Yes.
No pun not intended there. But you have like a weird...
Well, actually, I want to add, like, do you know, do you know who M is when you say Bond? Like, who M is in the movies? Who Q is? Not the actors, just
Q
the roles.
Is. M is the lady who's in charge of things.
Like, she's the head of MI6. Yeah. So it's, but like every movie, like, throughout the history.
I saw three of them, so
I didn't know.
I know.
To like keep you, in the loop.
Yeah, your Bond Pierce Brosnan right now? Is that the
right
three?
Now? Timothy Dalton.
I just want to know the three that you've seen.
Octopussy.
Timothy Dalton one with the girl with the house party haircut.
Is that from Russia with Love?
License to Kill?
License to Kill was Timothy Dalton,
One with Pierce Brosnan.
GoldenEye.
The Thomas Crown Affair.
The best Bond movie. Yeah.
And then the one with the parkour intro.
That's Casino Royale.
Casino Royale. Yeah,
which was actually the first book that Ian Fleming
wrote.
That was supposed to be the first Bond.
So. Actually, Woody Allen made it into a comedy.
Yeah, it was. I was just watching the Blu-ray has like all the special features and like the beginning of it, and it was like a huge story of how he wrote this story. Ian Fleming wrote it in the Bahamas right after he got married, and this was like a whole thing, and it went into a TV show, and it just took forever to get made into a movie.
The whole lore of James Bond is really interesting. Like, kind of nobody thought it would make it, and then they got this actor Sean Connery who just completely destroyed the part, like owned it. And then they were smart, actually. Ian Fleming's family were smart about his estate, and now mm-hmm. every Bond film to date has based on a character by Ian Fleming on it, and they get paid for that handsomely. But it's interesting how much like additive stuff it spawned. Like with this new movie, Skyfall was the highest grossing James Bond to date.
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. higher than any Sean Connery movie, and fans, critics, everyone has always said that Sean Connery was the best Bond. So where does that place Daniel Craig in the mix? He was such an odd choice at first. Everybody was so weirded out about it. And, I think there is a great passing of the torch, especially in Skyfall, mm-hmm. And another spoiler alert. There's
For the rest of the podcast, we don't need to say that anymore.
Okay. Well, there is a character in Skyfall who is intended to be Sean Connery, and that's the Albert Finney character, who ended up being this like bumbling like idiot character at the end. But it was
Sean
Connery.
Sam Mendes wanted to cast Sean Connery.
Yeah, he's the guy who takes care of the house. the Skyfall estate. Okay.
The caretaker, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the groundskeeper, what have you. But that,
I keep not wanting to say things because I know Jeff hasn't seen it, but it's too late now. You're gonna get it full force.
But well, Jeff, Ben's telling me when a spoiler alert is coming.
So I'm closing my ears. Yeah.
So the name of the movie is actually the name of the estate where James Bond was born.
Yeah.
So it's like the Skyfall house.
When I found that, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought I loved the whole shot with the big deer or elk or whatever that thing is on there. Like there's one destroyed and like one there and they just like kind of
just says Skyfall
go right out and
says
I was
cool.
Skyrim what other feel to it, what other
I see
weird.
How do you draw that
we're bringing the games in
what other James Bond film has gotten so deep into the mythology, and the idea of putting Sean Connery into that role just would have been so interesting as a bridge.
It would have been like a cool cameo. What they try to do though is they try to keep this continuity going with all the films.
And I was going to say the opposite of that.
Well, it's yes and no. Like, they try to do it, and then it also, like, kind of falls apart.
I think the fact that the films don't have continuity is actually what has allowed them to be so successful.
Yeah, I don't think you can't get hung up on the details in these things. Yeah.
Because so many, like movies today are now all about, like, you know, what can we make on the sequel? Like, how many sequels can we have? How can we milk this for so much money? And with the Bond films, everyone kind of exists on its own. It's like, you know, you can go see Skyfall and never had seen another Bond movie.
Well, they kind of were used to be. I mean, if you watch Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace, those two alone are like, they're made to go right from the one movie to the other.
Are they? I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you watch it, because I remember seeing Casino Royale, and then like a couple of years later I saw Quantum of Solace, and I had totally forgotten the whole story. But just a few days ago I watched both of them together, and it's just, it's right there. It ends, it picks up right where the other one ends. You know, and it's the whole love story.
Was there another one between Quantum of Solace and Skyfall?
No.
Nope, that was it.
Wow, so he signed on. Okay, so he signed on for 5 total.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting, just to take this in a little bit of a different direction. Originally, Indiana Jones was written to be a James Bond ripoff. Did you guys know that?
I did not know that.
The log line was, what if... The world's best secret agent. What if the world's best secret agent was also an archaeologist or something like that? think about the series. Do you remember the opening?
Names Bond, also Jones.
Do you remember the opening of Temple of Doom though? You had Harrison Ford in a white tuxedo.
He goes to pull out his gun, goes to the wrong pocket,
right.
and pulls out his little pickaxe.
When you need a father for Harrison Ford, who do you cast?
Timothy Dalton.
James fucking Bond. You cast Sean Connery
to play
the dad. It's an interesting parallel. A bungling
we'll
old
that.
Man. I wish he was down to do Skyfall. I think that would have made
I think that would have been awesome. Just, you know, it would have been, it's a cameo just like dropping in. But
would it have been distracting, which is why Sam Mendes said he ultimately decided not to.
So it was Sam that decided not to do it, not Sean Connery.
Honestly, that's what people say when they get turned down. You know, it's like, oh, well, she didn't, you know, I didn't really like her, too.
Yeah.
You know, bullshit.
If
Sean Connery said yes to your movie, you'd do it.
Do you think Sean Connery makes money? Like, if you look at Jack Nicholas, like, he makes money off of all the Batmans, but do you think Sean Connery makes any money off of any of the...
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know...
I think it would have worked. I don't think it would have been... Like, the Bond films are kind of very... You know, they say the Daniel Craig ones have gotten darker and more gritty, but they're still, like, very tongue-in-cheek. There's still a lot of, like, tongue-in-cheek humor. And I think it would have been just, like, would have fit in with Sean Connery.
Have you guys ever read any of the books?
I read Thunderball. It was really good.
What's that like, reading a James Bond book?
Very pulpy. You know, it's written in, a style of, like, basically, like, what the equivalent of what I was reading as a kid, like, R.L. Stein. was for kids in the 60s, I think.
Ian Fleming.
No, but I mean, it's...
You heard it here first, people.
They're not poorly written, but
you said R.L. Stein, and I thought Roald Dahl at first. So I was like, all right, I understand.
No, but you're reading a book about, like, and then this, and then boom. And it revolves around a great character and a great idea.
Right.
But at times I think, like, come on.
Is he infallible in the books? Is he like you always think he's gonna pull it out and
It's been a long time since I read it, but I remember it being pretty gadget heavy and just being like, the impossible was happening.
I will say I really like that Skyfall got away from the gadgets.
Oh yeah,
oh, it does?
Like I mean, even all the newer ones are less gadgety.
All of Daniel Craig's,
they're more about the character.
They pulled away from it big time.
Well, so many movies do the gadget thing well that isn't a James Bond niche.
Skyfall is very like. Again, with the tongue in cheek, they're very kind of make jokes about the fact that they're not using gadgets. The fact that he just has a little radio.
Well, I think the idea of gadgets are stupid because, like, if anything becomes dated, it's gadgets. Yeah. Gadgets get dated so quick. Like, it's like, okay, he has a fucking phone in his glove box. Who the fuck cares? Like, I was reading this interesting article.
Like a bag phone.
That's
the new thing.
There's a popular mechanics article about the 100 inventions of the next 100 years. And part of the reason they did it was because they did it in 1940, and they made up all these insane inventions that, like, sounded amazing, sure, but, like, the one thing they didn't consider was practicality. Because, like, we could be walking around in fucking, like, ridiculous, like, you know, plastic suits right now. It's possible and cheaper than cloth, but we don't want to do that.
No.
There's a human piece to that that you don't encounter. So I feel like if you're projecting all these weird futuristic devices, they're either going to be like laughably outdated, or they're going to be like not that futuristic, because I think that humans tend to like gravitate towards things that they know already, even in practice.
That's like the big thing with like movies that do near future, and it's like you go back and watch some of them, and it's just like
made in 94 and it takes place in 2007.
Oh, yeah, and you're just like, oh man, they like, really screwed that
like
up.
I mean, that's like now.
Blade Runner is 2019.
Yeah, 20. Yeah. Yeah, so it's like
Back to the Future is 2015. Back to the Future 2 is 2015.
Yeah, yeah, I'm still waiting for those freaking shoes.
The auto dry jacket.
The shoes came out.
I don't have them.
You can buy them.
Yeah, well, I don't want them.
Nike released them.
But he's waiting.
I'm waiting to want them. We live in the future. It's just not what we thought it'd be. It's iPhones.
But yeah,
come on, Skynet was supposed to take over in 1998.
But like
all robots.
The early Brosnan movies were like filled with gadgets, you know, and they had like the Omega watch with the laser.
That's actually my initiation to Bond was Brosnan.
Well, Brosnan was like a choice that like he was like such a classic choice. It's like
he's got like that classy.
He's the George Bush Senior of Bonds.
But it's almost a little smarmy. it's like just a little smarmy, but like he's just not.
Yeah, he was an asshole. I mean, come on. He plays the
he's more British than anyone in England actually is.
It's just too much. Over the top.
I mean, I get it. He's kind of handsome. He sort of has dark hair. Yeah, go with it.
So I actually went to see, I saw Skyfall this week. I went on Monday by myself, cause you know, Phil was like, oh, we're going to talk about Skyfall. I was like, all right, I guess I'll go see it. And, this has nothing to do with the movie, so I'm in the movie and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, I'm here, got my own popcorn, cut a hole in the bottom for myself. You know, didn't need to bust the popcorn trick on anybody. Did it to me.
This is great. Keep going. Yeah.
But so there's these two kids sitting behind me, maybe like 14. And, the one kid is explaining the movie scene by scene to the other kid as it's going on. And I'm like, is this kid blind? Like, he can't see what's going on, so the kid has to tell him. And I look back, and he's just in his ear, blah, 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 blah. And, like, 45 minutes go by, and I just, like, can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And I turn around, and I was like, listen, dude. I was like, this isn't football. I don't need play-by-play. And this dude's sitting, like three seats over from me. He's like, I know, right? And I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Like,
Validation.
But then I'm like, wait. He was too much of a pussy to tell the kids to shut up.
Yeah.
So he was like jumping on my bandwagon to tell the kids to shut up.
So now you're madder at this guy?
Yeah, than I am at the two kids. That's how my logic works.
Just backpack to your little backpack.
I mean, it's kind of like seeing a Tyler Perry movie. It's just like, you know, everybody's going to be talking behind you. It's horrible.
I
just said it's racist. Straight up.
Again, this is the official college humor podcast.
We just lost half of our viewership.
Well, I don't know any black people.
I didn't tell any black people to listen, so.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding.
Edit.
We'll edit it. Everybody loves Tyler Perry. Why would you not?
I can't wait to see Cross, is that what it's called?
Yeah, well, Nutty Professor.
That role, we go to Alex Cross. That role was
is that out?
It was more, yeah, Alex it's out. It's more. It was supposed to be Morgan Freeman's character from, you know, like Kiss the Girls and Long Game of Spider.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Tyler Perry I'm thinking the movie tanked, and then he came in with all his money and like bought everything. Was like, I'll give you guys money to make
or
it.
Or he bribed his way onto the movie.
Yeah. And that was...
Like, what are you talking about? I feel really bad for, like, Matthew Fox, because he, like, went all in for this movie.
He went machinist on it.
Yeah.
He stuck with
Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
It's just like Daniel Day-Lewis is all prepared for a role, and then Carrot Top shows up as the lead.
That's amazing.
This is called Lincoln 2. You heard it here first.
Did what happened to the box office numbers with
Lincoln?
No, with Tyler Perry. With whatever Carrot Top's working on.
Well, they're really excited about the sequel.
Well, if you were questioning whether it's in the theater, I don't think it is anymore. I think
I mean, because you wonder like Tyler Perry is just like such a powerhouse, and you wonder if like because the other theory is they grabbed him because he's like, you know, can't miss.
Somehow has all these.
Yeah, following. He's like an empire, so billion, you wonder if like it actually like
25 million is what it brought in.
Did you look that up?
Mm-hmm.
We agreed not to look anything up.
No, we did not agree.
That's not a lot of movie money, right?
No.
Vinny, let me ask you.
Hey. Yeah. It depends on what it costs, right?
They lost $10 million so far. It cost $35 million.
There you go. So a movie that costs $600,000 and makes $25 million did pretty good, I'd say.
Yeah. Which one's that?
Actually, interesting. A film that I watched recently, which I really liked, Insidious. Did you guys see that movie?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Horror movie. So this came from...
I didn't see it.
So we did a College Humor...
Tell us about it, Jeff.
We did a College Humor video with Patrick Wilson, who's, you know, he was Nighthawk, and he's been in a ton of movies. Little Children,
Watchmen,
among one of my favorite. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's kind of become a friend, which is cool, because we've known him a couple of years. I carried a bookshelf up his
stairs. Yeah, you told me you helped him. You and Josh Rubin helped him move, like, a bookshelf.
So he and I were talking at lunch one day at this College Humor video shoot, and he was like... telling us how it's so unpredictable, and I was saying so much how I liked Little Children, which is like one of my favorite movies. Todd.
Oh, I thought we were going back to the pedophilia thing.
No. Todd Field directed it. It's amazing. If you don't know Todd Field, he was Nick Nightingale in Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut, which is an amazing part. A movie like Little Children, which I loved so much, cost $25 million to make and brought in... like under $1 million in the box office.
Kill me to laugh.
A complete bomb. Like, you know, and this coming from Patrick, you know, and it's sad because that's like, you know, that was a great film and critics loved it, but it just didn't bring any money. You'd have to check my math, but I know it tanked.
Mm-hmm.
However, a movie that Patrick did called Insidious cost
great movie
$800,000 and brought in $75 million. Which is like, what? That's a successful movie. In fact, I think he said that was the biggest jump that year in films that like a movie had made.
Phil and I saw that together, and there's the scene where they're just like sitting around the dining room table, and like the demon's face appears behind like his mother.
Oh, you mean Darth Maul?
Yeah,
Darth Maul.
God, I like shit out of my dick. I was so scared.
Yeah. Well, what was equally as weird is your ass came.
Yeah, I was like... And we were just like sitting in the living room, and I was just like, "Oh fuck! Oh shit!"
And it was such a basic. I mean, it was so easy to. It wasn't like anything amazing CGI. It was just like they turn the camera to somebody else, and then they come back, and there's another guy sitting there.
It's just this creepy face.
Yeah,
but it's awesome. And that was kind of the whole thing with Insidious, is they were really about like that whole shock. Kind of,
Supposedly the same people did Sinister, which I haven't seen yet, but I heard is actually really creepy.
Yeah, so, in Sinisters.
That's the third one.
Yeah. In Sinister Idiots.
Incestisters.
So everybody likes Skyfall, right? Is that the main consensus?
We can talk about it some more. I can make some points.
Nah, let's end it.
The thing that cracked me up in the movie.
We talked about it, so
every Bond has like Bond girl. That's like the big thing, and it's like the love interests, whatever. And I don't know the actress's name in this movie or even the character's name.
Why would you? She's so quickly in and out.
Yeah, she's just like in and out of the movie. I know that she's actually French, but in the movie plays like an Asian.
I almost thought Russian. Well, myself. No, she
it's obvious she's living in China, but she's clearly an outsider.
She's ethnic looking. Yeah. She's just exotic, beautiful woman.
Ambiguous.
Yeah, but
I got Russian, by the way. A Russian.
So they have this scene in the casino, and it's like flirty, like very Bond, and she's just like, "I'm going to my boat," blah blah blah. Like, these three guys are going to try to kill you. Like, if you know, meet me at my boat.
Meet me at my boat later. These guys.
And she's like, you can tell she's like waiting for him. And then the captain comes, and he's like, "We're shipping off," and she's just kind of looks disappointed. And then she like goes and takes a shower. She goes in the shower. She's showered, and Bond just gets in the shower. Like, behind her. He comes, like, the scene is, like, her showering and then Bond's face.
Completely, like, he's naked already.
Like, already naked.
Yeah. In the other room.
They talked for 10 minutes.
Yeah. And I'm just, like, and she's just, like, oh, like, all about it.
Oh, I wouldn't even say she said, oh.
No, just like, kind of snuck up behind her and just, there you like, are. Put his arms around
How many women do you know that allow guys to sneak up behind them in the shower?
And the thing about this film that... I would say another Bond, like, you know about the Bond films, it's like the women are just like, you're not making it to another movie.
They're throwaways.
They're throwaways. Yeah. Like, Bond is very one and done. Right. But I thought it was, like, very prevalent in this movie. Like, other movies, it's kind of like they hint at a love story. There was none of that in this. Bond was just like, I'm in, I'm out. Like, so because of, like, so the next scene after that, like, she gets killed. Spoiler alert.
Shot right in the face.
You know what, though? Like, I think what's stranger about that whole thing is that I don't know too many women who are just okay with someone sneaking up. My girlfriend, who I lived with, we padlock our door. There's no chance that it's anyone else. When I sneak up on her in the shower, she gets so upset with me.
That's right. It's just like, let me just sneak
a scene of you sneaking up, and it's just
let alone some random girl.
It's like the Insidious scene that Ben's scared of with the face behind
her. Like, reality of this scene is this is actually how Bond dies. Yeah. This is how Bond dies.
I know he's got like a Bond boner and he walks up. Definitely, wait, that's going to poke her first.
By the way,
how
is his dick okay from that whole scene in Casino Royale where they beat him with a fucking rope the bottom of the chair?
At the end of the movie, he is in like this weird wheelchair for like, you know, the rest of the film. He's like in this sad little wheelchair. Like,
a wheelchair doesn't fix your dick as far as I've heard. His dick was destroyed. Yeah.
Like a big knotted rope, and they're just
can we talk about that?
Balls.
It's the medical gadget.
Yeah.
How is his dick okay?
Maybe it was just the ball portion. And
I want every Daniel Craig sex scene from now on to be like about to climax, and then and then just a close up of blood on white satin sheets.
He's always going after girls he's not very attracted in.
That could be why he has Bond to kill all the way them down after he's done. They all die.
He's like
he's
a black widow spider.
He just like phones it in after. We're like, oh, yep, we need to kill another one.
He just needs to know that.
A dick.
So that's why he wasn't upset that she got killed in this movie.
Yeah, because
he just needs to come.
He just needs to prove that he can still get girls. And then once he gets in the sack, he just wants to
just get rid of
this
him.
This is a crazy psychological thriller.
This is actually Ted Bundy's.
Well, that's what's story. Like the movie, like, cracked me. It's like because they totally gave up on the chase. Like, Bond doesn't even. It's just the fact that he's James Bond means he can bed anybody.
Oh, yeah. Just banged her and then boom.
But in all fairness, I know people like that.
And then the other girl, he's like, "You shave me, and then I'm gonna bang you."
Yeah, like, the money penny character.
Yeah, which wasn't that big of a surprise to me. Yeah, the end. They kind of built.
There was when I watched Casino Royale, there was kind of a cool callback, like in the beginning of Casino Royale when they have that parkour guy. You see Bond and he's far away, and then there's the new rookie in the crowd. Watching the parkour guy following him, and he's got his hand up on his ear, and Bond, yells, "Get your hand down!" And that's when the parkour guy looks and sees him do it, takes off. But they did that whole scene with Moneypenny, and in the Chinese, the whole Chinese casino,
in Skyfall.
When he walks in, and chatting.
Oh, okay. So they did the same because she said he said to her,
he's like, "Put your hand down." You know.
By the way, aren't kimono dragons really docile?
No.
In real life?
I don't think so. But they don't... I don't think they really eat live. I think they're like... Let's Google it.
Oh. Ben answered so confidently, I thought he had already looked it up.
I didn't realize I was
definitely not
the head of the Bronx Zoo here
against the Google on this.
I'm actually not Googling, but I think what they bite and then it's poison.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
they
really
wait
poisonous.
Till their prey dies, and then we'll go eat it. That's
like a Dilophosaurus.
Sure.
Like Dennis Nedry. Because
they're real and we can study them.
Like Dennis Nedry.
Was a Jurassic Park reference.
Yes.
I got it.
Yes.
What? Oh, so it's you coming guys... out in 3D.
Yeah. You want to go see an IMAX? Let's go see Jurassic Park.
Is that
3D? Yeah.
Yeah. Who wants to see a fat guy get spit on in 3D?
Newman. No.
Story Who wants of... to see Jeff Goldblum's Newman. Nipples
Story
in 3D?
Of my sex life.
I want the only 3D shot to be Jeff Goldblum topless. The rest of the movie can be perfectly 2D. And I would still pay $14.
Hey, I'm the resident them. Fat kid in this podcast.
Bond kills them, and you just get spit at afterwards.
I hope they add a scene.
Bye, Bond.
It's so boring. Ben just always gets spit at. Movie 3.
That's good.
We know the formula.
Well, get this microphone away from me.
I'm glad we covered away. That. Beer me.
Beer him.
Oh yeah, thank you again to Josiah for getting us beers.
Oh
yes, that's our engineer.
Thanks,
that's our engineer.
Our engineer.
Engineer.
We're in a radio station atop a mountain somewhere.
A $35 million podcast.
Funded by James Bond.
We're in a closet right now.
Hey.
We're in the back seat of a
car. We
have
vibe lighting, we have mood lighting.
We're in a car right now. So Skyfall, everybody liked it though. It was, you know, do you think it was the best?
No.
Of the three that he's done? Ben says no. Four of them? No, right away.
I didn't know what your question was going to be. I was just trying to jump it.
Just no.
I mean, the best, that's hard to say. I mean, I feel like James Bond's that really like strike a chord with the generation that they're speaking to. You know, that's a significant thing. You know, that's not to say I like loved everything about Skyfall, but I do think that the idea of like getting a younger Q, you know,
he was awesome, by the way. I really liked him.
He was great. You know,
is how well? Yeah, I guess
swapping
Ray
out
Fiennes is younger.
Swapping out the you know the roster in back at MI6. That's pretty smart. And I think, you know, Casino Royale went so far from what James Bond is. They picked a blue-eyed, blonde-haired, you know, guy who looks like he could kill you with his hands. From Pierce Brosnan, who looks like he, you know...
A smarmy, you know...
Yeah, you're going to insult me with your words and
yeah,
then I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
He actually reminds me of like a hostess at like a really hoity-toity restaurant.
He's a female?
Host,
an exclusive maitre d'.
Yeah, you're going to go there and he's going to be like, oh, welcome here. Yeah.
I confuse him with Hugh Grant a lot.
Nice coat.
I think...
His
like,
mind.
Because I confuse them a lot, I think that Hugh Grant... I think that Pierce Brosnan paid for sex. But he's the kind of guy who would.
And then I got spit on.
Right. He's like Bill Paxton and Bill Pullman to me.
Yeah.
Like, who's who? Who's in ID4? I don't remember.
Well, it does. That's funny because Pierce Brosnan would be the guy who sneaks up in the shower and just expects it to go okay.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
But it
does. You're going to lose your hair someday, Pierce Brosnan. We all know it. But, you know, I think, you know, was it the best? No. But it definitely hit hard with this audience.
I think it was... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no, I just think what else is really great this year? You know, people are desperate for a summer movie, and what did they get? What did they get?
Well, I think Skyfall in the three that Daniel Craig has done, I think Casino Royale is definitely the best, and I think Skyfall is the second, and then you know Quantum Solace. Kind of.
I will say actually, I was not as impressed as I thought I would be with Javier Bardem. Like I've come to expect so much from him, and I mean, it's just me personally. I'm not saying his performance was bad. I just kind of, the character didn't resonate that much with me. It was like too much. He was too much of a...
Have you ever seen Moon Over Paradiso?
No, I have not.
His character is similar in many ways to Raul Julia's character. The blonde-haired, sort of ambiguously foreign, you know, weirdo.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I thought that was such a... Because I love... Raul Julia is my favorite actor of all time. I could be wrong in thinking this, but I took it as an homage, which I thought was like, it was kind of like Heath Ledger is to
look up Raul Julia. So I know who he's talking
Gomez
about.
Adams.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
M. Bison.
Oh, totally.
Yes. In his finest role.
His best role, that's what you can think of.
Yeah, but Raul Julia, my favorite actor, my favorite deceased actor. But, you know, I thought there was something, some, like, kind of cool parallel there between the two of them.
Just mine's Ronald Reagan.
Kind of in the same way that, you know, Heath Ledger took... Excuse me?
Mine's Ronald Reagan.
Have you guys ever seen the Heath Ledger, the interview with...
A vampire.
No, Phil. I'm struggling with this and you're not helping.
No, sorry.
The
10 Things I Hate About You.
No, the interview with... You have to have seen this. Come on.
The Dark Knight.
No, no, it's not Heath Ledger. It's an interview with Tom Waits. Heath Ledger based the Joker off of this interview when he was really fucked up. And you're literally watching the Joker. Have you ever seen
it? I didn't know that.
No.
You have to watch this interview. It's amazing. Like, we should actually pause and watch the interview.
We could do that. I could mute it. We could watch it. No one would be the wiser. The other two people listening.
All right, we're back. We just listened to the interview.
pull up Tom Waits Joker.
Oh, then we'll be right. You won't even know. You won't even know, people.
How are you, Tom?
Oh, I'm better than nothing.
Yeah.
Ashtray.
We don't have. Can we have an ashtray? Got an ashtray, man? If not, wait. I'll tell you what. In the meantime, here. You can use this glass. All right. Just get it in there. How? Hang on. Are you all right?
Yeah, just all fine. Right. Thank you.
I just want to check until you're settled in. That's all.
All right. Let me get comfortable here.
Okay. How long? Nice shot. Here it is. It's okay. Story, mate. We all miss once in a while. How long have you been here in Australia now?
I got here last night. I was on a plane from Paris for about 22 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fascinating flight.
What do you do for 22 hours on a flight? You have ways of entertaining yourself?
Well, they show movies that are not a big success anywhere else.
All right, we're back.
All right, cool. So through the magic of podcasting, I've inserted the audio from the clip. It was the Tom Waits interview on YouTube. Amazing. It is the Joker.
Yeah, that's when you hear it and without seeing it, you're going to be like, that's the Joker.
Even watching it in his mannerisms,
does it make you like the Heath Ledger performance less?
It kind of makes you,
realize that
it's just an impression.
That he just copied somebody.
Well, what happened was Heath Ledger was working with Tom Waits on his last film, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Yeah, that's the one that I was going to bring up.
Terry Gilliam. And when they were making this film, he became obsessed with him. And this was shooting simultaneous to The Dark Knight. So he had like kind of studied these mannerisms, and in doing that, he was searching for who the Joker was. And everyone was obsessed with the Heath Ledger Joker, but in fact, it was actually an impression of Tom Waits in this interview where he's insanely fucked up on Australian television.
He's so gone.
Yeah,
so
gone.
If you think about Heath Ledger's process there, there's something very cohesive about how you can take what Tom Waits was doing. And everything is like this.
But you wonder
and
if,
then
like...
There's your Joker. There's your Joker.
Like, you wonder if that Heath Ledger got so into being the Joker or got so into being, like, Tom Waits.
Well, he added a ton of great stuff. Like, all that mouth stuff was, like, amazing. Like,
he's still alive, right? Tom Waits is still...
Yeah.
No, why can't we just...
He was dating Mary-Kate Olsen in Soho.
why can't we just... do another one with the Tom
with
Waits
Tom
as
Waits.
The Joker.
As the Joker.
Give him
problem
four
solved.
Highballs.
Yeah. But think like the Joker is like a maniacal character where he's in charge of everything, and he has this grand scheme and this end game that he's working towards, and he like just keeps outsmarting people.
Tom Waits
and
can't pay his cell phone
bill. He takes it from Tom Waits, who obviously just cannot get the game
can't
of social interaction.
He can't even walk to the chair.
So it is kind of funny, like looking at that and taking that where it's someone who is failing at the one thing that they're supposed to be able to do, and then kind of fitting that into someone who's like just kind of wins at everything.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
So Vinny, back. I want to go back to Javier Bardem and when we were talking about Skyfall, I think one of the issues I had with him, and this is something actually I'm stealing from Jeff, like Jeff brought up when we went to see...
good one. Look up Moon Over Paradiso.
What was the movie?
I haven't talked yet, and you took the only thing I was going to say.
No, but you can talk about it. It was just, like, the thought in my head was that, you know, you have this character who's this villain, and he ends up being, like, very creepy because he's, like, his sexuality is kind of ambiguous, and it's like, oh, he's like, kind of, is he homosexual? Is he not homosexual? It's
I, like, I didn't it's, actually think he was. I thought that was just
yeah, but it's like this thing play, that but... they do now in movies is like, oh, let's make these villains like creepy because they're kind of gay, and I think it's kind of insulting, you know. And it was the same in what was the movie?
Bro, are you gay?
That we saw.
Gays are accepted now, dude.
What was the Prohibition movie?
Oh, yeah,
Gary Oldman. Jeff made the point. It wasn't Gary Oldman.
No, Lawless? What are you talking about?
Yeah, Lawless.
Or Guy Pearce.
Guy Pearce. And that was the point Lawless, that you had made about him.
Oh, yeah. Where they just, they're like, okay, let's, you know, like, I just picture a writer's room because I don't know how this works. And they're just like, okay, we got a bad guy. Get rid of his eyebrows. And then, like, what else can we do? And just, like, they give him the OCD cleanliness thing. Yeah. And just everything about, like, what, like, all the good guys and the protagonists are, like, these salt of the earth, kind of, like, you know, let's do this. And then they just give this guy and they just impose this effeminate OCD-ness on it. And they're like,
yeah, and then that makes
well, that's evil. It's got to be evil.
And that was the same vibe I got from Javier Bardem's character.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, it was just a little too much. It was, like, a little overdone to me.
I can jump on with that. I mean, I feel like it's, you know what,
you can fuck with that.
I haven't read Skyfall, but if you read a screenplay, I feel like there's some cases historically where like films have just been very like lackluster in description. Like Woody Allen films are classically, you know, or Coen Brothers scripts are like guy 40 walks into a bar. Like who are these characters? Actually, it's, you know, Jeff Bridges comes along and he becomes the Big Lebowski and puts
the whole vibe.
Okay, I didn't even think of it from that perspective.
Like, the whole reason that he did that was that whole interaction was him trying to turn Daniel Craig against M and against the whole, you know, kind of MI6 thing.
So he was soliciting.
But he wanted to give him something that, you know, he said, like, oh, you're not going to find this in your training, you know, after he, you know, kind of gave him that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because he wanted to kind of get him out of it. I mean, that's what I got.
Ain't no homos at MI6.
I didn't mean just that scene, though. I just mean his whole personality is kind of like effeminate.
It was. Blonde.
Look up. Hair.
What happened?
Will you look up Moon Over Paradiso real quick?
We missed like 10 seconds of what you just said.
How do we miss that?
It paused.
Look up Moon Over Paradiso. Just do a quick Google image search for that shit.
I'm fired.
You're fired.
Of the movie?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys got to talk about something.
I'll reiterate what I just said. Yeah, hopefully that the people, you know, don't hear it four or five times. We'll edit it. We'll fix it. But what I was saying was Javier Bardem is he's the whole interaction with him and Daniel Craig is him trying to turn Daniel Craig against MI6 and M and everybody. So he goes into that whole kind of the homosexual tension there is because he wants to throw him off his training and that whole agenda there. I think that's why, you know, that's why he did it. So
Moon Over Parador?
No.
Is that what you mean?
No, Paradiso.
Paradiso. Moon Over.
But did you not find it?
I found Moon Over Parador with Raul Julia.
Oh yeah, that's it. Okay. Wait, and do you see him in the movie, though?
We'll edit that out. So
Javier Bardem's
character.
You're right. It looks just like him. That's him. Crazy.
He's the
bad guy.
And there's like a writer. There's like writers right now.
I'm more into Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss is where it's at. So, if you're listening, Google Moon Over Parador.
What the hell?
Just look at the cover picture.
First episode, we have now torn apart like two great actors. Like, oh yeah, they just copied this other guy. That was it.
Yeah, they're just all about Hollywood's all about copying.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all it is.
There's this quote that, you know, nothing is original, so you better just embrace that.
Yeah. Do you like, they always do like a weird physical trait with like the Bond villain. He had like that whole, you know, the was it, the poison there, like, melted his face or whatever.
I thought that was a little... Well, here's why I thought that was weird, because you don't see it again.
Yeah.
Like, I would have loved that last scene where he's got a gun to M's head, and he's like, you have to do it. We have to do it together. Yeah, like,
somehow it got knocked out of his mouth.
Yeah. All right, here's you know what I thought. I thought this was going to be great. This is what, in my head, as this was happening, I was like, oh, shit. I thought that he goes to take his cyanide pill, and it wasn't cyanide. Like, M screwed him over. Like, it wasn't the actual poison, and he couldn't actually kill himself, and it just messed him up. That's what I thought it was, but it...
Well, the whole, you know, that whole thing was that he thought M did screw him over, you know, as far as everything, but M has that little scene where she talks about him, like, you know, trying to play both sides of the whole spy.
She was able to save six agents. And that's why she
gave him up. Yeah, that's why she gave him up.
We have to include Jeff somehow. What are we talking about next?
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Well, we will. We'll bring him in. That's fine. We could talk about, you know, beards or...
mustachio man.
No, good Tom Waits thing is he has... I saw another interview with him, and he had recently made a movie, and he was sharing, and it flopped, and it was horrible. So bad that he was making light of how bad it was by reading the reviews or the pull quotes from the review. Mm-hmm. And the best one was... looks like it was shot inside the belly of a very sick animal. That was just the review of his movie. Yeah. Red as the Joker, though.
We'll have to take an episode and just pull up, like, worst movie reviews, and, you know, like, worst little clips that like, an actor 4%
on Rotten Tomatoes,
own.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like the Guy Fieri restaurant review.
Oh, my God. Movies. I know a bunch of people who went there. Sashimi tacos? Are you fucking kidding me?
Guy Fieri has a restaurant?
Yeah, in Times Square. Times Square.
It's notoriously...
The New York Times, like, destroyed it in the review.
Oh, yeah, it was bad.
It's on Times Square, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, I, you know...
I feel like if you go into a Guy Fieri restaurant...
If you go to eat somewhere in Times Square...
In Times Square, yeah, it's so cheesy and touristy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's actually a genius.
Yeah, the Times is, like, ripping it apart, but then going to Bubba Gump Shrimp and being like, yeah.
That's
some Times Square food.
The place next to it is, like, Chee Chee's.
It's not like he sold it as, like, this upscale restaurant.
Yeah.
You know? He kind of did, though. The plates are, like, $30 to $40.
No, I didn't know that.
I mean, it's, like, very expensive.
Well, that's Times Square. I mean, I got a slice of pizza in Times Square. It was, like, $7. I'm like, what? Just cheese.
A good slice of pizza.
It was horrible, actually. It was really bad.
I tried to buy a six-pack in Times Square. $40.
Are you serious?
$40.
I got a toothpick. $500.
I had a toilet seat. $10,000.
I had to pay to get an STD.
Whoops. There was a toll to get into Times Square, and it was $1 billion.
Oh,
so once I got past that, everything was very cheap.
Welcome back to Inflation Talk.
So this week on The Economist.
Welcome to 2047.
Let's bring it back, because I do want to talk a little bit more about Javier Bardem and that whole villain. No, I do. Yeah,
I was ready to wrap it up.
You ready to wrap it? He's ready to wrap it. No, yeah, they always do that weird. Everybody has, like, a weird thing, and you know, do you think that they all need that or
like a physical?
Yeah, they always have like a physical.
So in the movie, like he was an agent. Like, he's an ex-agent, and he got captured, was getting tortured, and they give him a cyanide pill in his tooth, and he took it, and it didn't kill him, but it ended up, like, making him deform.
Dissolving his face.
But he wears, like, this denture with
Casino Royale, was the guy with the
eye.
The
guy named, like, Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah. So he wears this denture that has, like, a cheek insert. Like, so he, like, pulls it out, and his whole face, like, droops down.
Droops, and he has no teeth.
But it's only, like, one scene, and he's like, you did this to me, and he pulls it out. And then he puts it back in, and that's all. That's all you see.
Acted goofy, gay, hobby.
Yeah. Like, he obviously looks disgusting when he takes it out, but I was like, this is weird.
Fuck me without my dentures.
What, what, what?
There was some screws, I think, in there, too.
Yeah, he tucks his dick into his legs and takes his denture out.
I will say, I did like how
creepier than Buffalo Bill.
Like, it was really cool how he took it out and put it back in. Like,
yeah, it was very easy that it slipped right out.
But he was just like...
Yeah, but if you have
the craftsmanship.
The sound effects and stuff, it was just...
Why do you keep your weird little green deformed teeth, though?
Why does he have, like, two like teeth.
Yeah, but I mean that's just there for like, oh, you look. We want to make him look like a witch.
Yeah, you don't want to pull it out and have, like
take it out and form
gum.
His accent.
Like, look what you did to me. Oh, you look great still. Oh.
Thank you.
And by the way, where did he find a dentist on that island? Weird,
like, he takes it out.
He's taking that over.
He takes it out and his face falls, and then he's got like these scars. But then he puts it back in, and the scars are gone. I'm like,
I think they were like stretch marks from the droopiness.
But the stretch marks would still be there.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Not unless you stretch them out.
Yeah, CGI, it's not there after it's done. Wow.
But that scene.
That's
what
we
very...
need to have like live CGI instead of Botox. You walk around and have like a CGI.
That scene was very classic. Like, it seems very classic in a lot of ways because you had Daniel Craig standing there in the fucking Gucci. Well-tailored suit, like just literally watching, you know, Javier Bardem in this, you know, containment capsule, and then you have M walk in. But it's something very like something that Bond has gotten away from many through the years. I think I thought that was a really cool kind of tableau, you know, for like what Bond started out as and what it has become, because you're suddenly like, we've got the bad guy, he's in this futuristic like, you know, prison. And, you know, Bond is just there watching. Like, I feel like you could take a screen grab of that and you would insert it into any Bond from the 60s with, like, you know, all the proper accoutrements. Mm-hmm. And then...
Yeah, we actually didn't talk about how well-dressed they were in the whole movie.
I mean...
Oh, it just... It keeps getting... Like, every ridiculous. Bond that they do now, it's just like, they just get better and better.
Are they, like, using these, like, super sweat spandex suits?
You got an Aston Martin, you've got the gray suit. I mean,
He had that pea coat in the whole scene where he fights that sniper. They had 15 coats that they bought to do that. They had larges and mediums, and he would switch between them depending on what action he was doing.
That's what I mean. It's ridiculous.
So it's like, and that's just like, you know, what, 5 minutes in the movie, and he's got 15 coats.
One thing is, they drive all the way to the Skyfall estate, and he's in like his three-piece Gucci suit. But then, like, this is this abandoned house, kind
nothing
of like
there,
it's been
they sold
nothing
the
there, and he changes, and he's wearing like amazing clothes.
Oh yeah, he's got this great coat,
this great coat, boots, these pants, and these shoes. And I'm like, where did he get these clothes?
Honestly, you remember? Did you see Girl with the Dragon Tattoo? Like, he looked fucking great in that movie.
Oh yeah,
everything he wears. But have you seen that movie of that picture of Daniel Craig from the 90s?
No. Oh yeah, I saw him. I watched the clip when he first got to be Bond, and he had this long
with the
hair,
long hair,
like you know, flowing.
You give that guy a short haircut and put him in a Gucci suit, he could be James Bond.
It really, like, it's really is amazing, picture? Like the transformation from like 06 to now.
Daniel Craig 90s.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah,
I mean, and even I think he looks better now. Who can say that 15 years later?
Yeah,
I saw him recently. In a restaurant, and he did not look like James
Bond. Oh, yeah, why don't you tell us?
Because it's like
he looks like the Ghostbusters 2 villain.
That's what somebody said. They said Vigo.
It's Vigo.
Yeah. Look at him now.
I saw him at a...
James Bond?
He was doing like a BBC show back then, and... I think that was for a character. I don't think that was like
normal. He was doing a BBC show. He looks more like Laura Linney.
Yeah, he looks like a rogue maestro.
Yeah. He should have come out and introduced the fucking Downton Abbey.
Oh, man.
But, no, Jeff, you have a good Daniel Craig. Why don't you tell
us? It's just like the clothes make the man thing, because I saw him recently, and he was waiting for a to-go order in a restaurant, and it took a while to realize it was him. Because of how unremarkable he was.
Yeah. But he's short. And, like, he's...
Yeah, but he was wearing one of those like cyclist hats, like the weird mesh little boy hats.
Yeah,
like,
the brim is too long.
Yeah. And kind of like a snug shirt, and like just in gym clothes.
Yeah.
And so it is the kind of thing where you're like, oh man, it just... If I could wear a suit, maybe I would look cool.
Yeah.
maybe I could be James Bond.
Well, that reminds me when I saw the... Robin Williams. I was in the mall, in our mall, our local mall, and I was just like walking. I hear this voice behind me, and it's the classic, you know, Robin Williams voice. And I'm like, no.
Which is like seven different.
Oh,
voices.
Phil! Yeah. Hey, Phil! Yeah, hey, we gotta go into Skechers quick.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you know?
It was actually FYE. It was
Amy Mad.
Robin Williams getting a PacSun credit card.
Whoa! We gotta stop on the hot topic.
I feel like every podcast that probably has ever been done has had someone do a Robin Williams impersonation.
But no, I heard him. I heard him, and then I'm like, that's fucking Robin Williams. So. I turn around and he sneaks his way. He was like with his assistant. They sneak into FYE to buy an Xbox or whatever.
You gotta buy an Xbox. No, I'm gonna narrate.
This is actually what he was really. He literally was buying an Xbox and like a bunch of games near Christmas. But I look at him and he's got this big beard. He looked like a hobo. He was wearing like hobo clothes, like a big beard. They were filming The Night Listener at one of the
they did that was up hotels. At Skytop.
Yeah, Skytop. Yep. That's where they were filming it. So I forgot why. I think it was like Christmas or something. He had to buy something for it.
Oh, I gotta buy Xbox for my daughter. Yeah. Oh, I should have shaved, but who cares? Yeah. Oh!
But yeah, that was basically it. And he looked like, you know, when you see him off of the big screen, my
here's
point.
Another one.
You just look.
I'm just looking at pictures of Daniel Craig.
He's playing a drunk Jude Law.
if anybody wants to do this, just look up Daniel Craig and Google.
Like before, Daniel Craig before Bond.
Before Bond. It's good.
Here's what you got to do next time. Put the laptop on the projector.
Oh, yeah, we'll put the laptop
on. So we can all talk about the image.
So we can all talk about it, and the people, and the two people listening can still
ugly
not
penis.
See it.
You guys will be talking. Weird looking dicks.
Are you going to put up pictures alongside it?
I might do it. We'll see. I don't know what I'm going to do, man. This is number one. This is it.
I can't wait for Doug to listen to this. Doug, if you're out there.
Doug G.
Yeah, Dougie G.
Come on.
He might make a good guest.
Doug is the next James Bond choice.
What would Doug talk about? No, let's not get into it. We didn't even, you know.
All right, so this is long. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been talking about Skyfall for 4 hours. Longer than the movie.
It's like 20 minutes of Skyfall.
So, Vinny, what are you working on right now?
Yeah, tell us what you're working on.
Anything you want to... Everybody go check out collegehumor.com, obviously.
Honestly, College Humor has been... We got really hit by the hurricane. So our office got flooded, 4 feet of water in the lobby. Wow. The entire basement was flooded. You know, our boss's Aston Martin got destroyed.
So you're doing a lot of underwater videos.
So
now,
your boss is James Bond.
No, it's not Aston Martin.
So bring it back.
Maybach? No, I forget what kind of car he has. It's really nice.
It's a Lamborghini Countach.
Yes. No, but
do you want
us
to change your name throughout this whole podcast? Go back.
That's fine.
We'll get rid of it. You're fired.
As far as what's coming up, College Humor is doing a lot more series-based work.
I hope he's listening to this right now and he just realized that his car was ruined. He didn't even know.
What?
My car is ruined? It was in the basement?
It's Hurricane Sandy?
Somebody, it's been a month.
Somebody just lost a job right now. They're just being
maybe
fired. No, keep going. Keep
no, concerned. It's, you know, it's been slow, but we're developing a lot more series. And I think, mm-hmm. I think 2013 is going to be for College Humor, our biggest transition into movies. We have a feature film coming out that Brad Copeland, who writes Arrested Development, wrote and directed, starring Ben Schwartz, Glenn Howard, and Steve Little of Always Sunny, and Ben Schwartz of House of Lies. And we're really excited about it. I think it's going to be really good. So we have that coming out, which I directed the opening credits for, if you happen to catch it.
Awesome, yeah.
We're kind of taking scripts. We College Humor's plan is to be making feature films, so we hope to kind of transition out of the web and into that.
That'll be awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Yeah. Jeff, anything you want to plug?
2013's not looking so good.
All right, we'll see you next week.